scripture with which John read talks about walking as Jesus walked. That's a pretty tall order for us, but it's something that we need to consider, that that's our purpose as Christians. We are to walk the way Jesus walked, and always consider what he would do in the situations that we face in life. First John says a lot about how we should walk as Christians, particularly in the area of love. It's kind of the love book, as 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. But tonight we're going to look at our walk as found in the book of Ephesians. And there are a number of things there that are referred to. And so, first of all, we consider the wicked walk of the past. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the others." So some of us grew up in the church, never had a lifestyle that was controlled by sin. We weren't deep into sin, as some are, but others have sunk to the lowest level of depravity and sinful living, and they live very, very sinful lives. But all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and so each one of us needs the sacrifice of Jesus to save us from our sins. That person who maybe only committed a few sins, maybe grew up in the church and always tried to do what their parents taught them, but usually there's a little bit of rebellion in there, and that's when they realize, hey, I need to be baptized to wash away my sins because I'm sinful in the sight of God. It might just be a few sins, but still those need forgiveness just like the big sins do. And so we have to understand that and continue to strive to walk as Jesus walked and to live as he would live. He took our place on the cross, so we'll take his place here on this earth. And just imagine what this world would be like if each one of us did walk as Jesus walked here on this earth. If every Christian walked as Jesus walked, it'd be a different world. And it should be, because that's what we should be doing. And then the working walk is next, in Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, and made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show his exceeding riches for his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so we were dead in our sin, and Jesus made us alive again. By his grace, we are saved. And we should show our appreciation by working and living for him, since he died for us. And while we recognize, as Paul points out here, that we are saved by grace, through our faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We can never do enough to say, God, you owe me my salvation now. We're always going to fall short. And so we depend upon him and his grace for us. That doesn't mean that we don't have to work, because as it goes on to say, we are his workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, That's that purpose, and as we talked about this morning, every time judgment is talked about, it says we're judged by the deeds done in the body. By the way we lived our lives here on this earth, we're going to be judged. And so while we're not saved by works, we can't say, God, you owe me my salvation because I worked so hard for you. We must work. We're created in Christ for the purpose of doing good works. And then there's the worthy walk, Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling of which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so that worthy walk that is in lowliness and gentleness, and we as Christians should be lowly and gentle, realizing God's superiority over us and being gentle to all around us. Long-suffering, bearing long with people who might be slow in their growth, and we might be expecting them to be more spiritual than they are, and yet they seem to be slow to us. Sometimes that's the way we did our kids. Will you grow up? Sometimes God says that to us, that we need to grow up. And so long-suffering and bearing with one another in love, putting up with those who are slow in their growth and bearing with them in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit is, we're going to be looking at those things, that there is one body. And so that's the unity of the Spirit, that there's only one body, one church. Church, the body is always referred to as the church. That connection is there, that Christ died for the church. And so we are in that one body, one Spirit, not many different spirits. There's one Holy Spirit, one hope, that hope of heaven that is always referred to in the Scriptures, particularly in the New Testament, that hope that we have of being in heaven with Him one day, one Lord, referring to Jesus, one Lord, no others. We're to listen to Him. He is our Lord and Master, and we should be doing what He says and not doing things that others tell us to do, whether it's the preacher or whoever it might be. The elders, Christ is our Lord. Above all, we are obedient to Him. We have no other lords. There is one faith, and the faith is generally referred to as that which was once delivered for all the saints, and that means that we have one doctrine that should be being taught, and we should be united in that one faith. Our faith is referred to as that body of beliefs that we have here on this earth in the church. And so we need to be united in that one faith. One baptism. That means there's not a Holy Spirit baptism and a water baptism. There's only one. And after the day of Pentecost, we see that being water baptism. We see Paul saying, can any forbid water? That these should be baptized just as we were in the beginning. And so water baptism is what this one baptism is. And Holy Spirit baptism, we only have two examples of it, and that's in Acts 2 and Acts 10. And the purpose of Acts 10 was to show that the Gentiles were acceptable to God because they had received the Spirit just as the apostles had on the day of Pentecost. And so Holy Spirit baptism is no longer applied to us. That one baptism is water baptism, that we are buried with Christ and raised with Him in a new life. And then there is one God only one God, and the different religious groups have their God, but we have only the one God, the creator of this universe and everything in it. That's the one God. And so we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, keeping up with the fact that there is one of each of these seven things, the seven ones that we're to be united in and continue to walk to honor and please the Lord. And that's the worthy walk. We are to walk worthy of the calling with which we are called. We're called to walk like Jesus walked. And to be worthy, to walk that worthy walk, is to do what we're called to do. And we'll fall short. Thankfully, God has given us the way to be forgiven of that when we do fail and fall short. And so we're very thankful for that, the worthy walk. And then there's the worthless walk in Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And so he talks here about that worthless walk and the futile walk of the Gentiles, those who were outside of Christ, and how they were without Christ and had no hope in the world apart from Christ. And so he refers to putting off that old man, that worthless walk, and putting on Christ. It is a futile walk. It means that you're not going to be happy when you get where you're going. Have you ever done that? You ever planned to go somewhere and you found out you were somewhere you weren't intending to be? Some of us have gotten lost and done that in our lives. And many in the world do that today. They think they're going the right direction. And as Jesus talked about the broad and the narrow way, then we can see that the time is going to come when judgment comes, and those who are on that broad way are going to find out they were on the wrong path. Many of them thought they were on the right path, the narrow path. But on judgment day, they're going to find out, no, they were on the wrong walk, on the wrong path. It was a futile path. And so Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? And he will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And so many are going to think, even though they're on that futile walk, that they're on the right one. And so that's the reason it's so important for us to check the scriptures to see if what we're being taught is true. Because we never know who may be teaching us false doctrine. It can come out of the mouth of the preacher, can come out of the mouth of the elder, the deacon, whoever, any, and particularly denominational preachers who are teaching things that are contrary to the will of God. We need to check the scriptures to see if we're on that futile walk or not. It's a walk in darkness. Darkness indicating that they don't know where they're going. They can't see where they're going. And so they wind up in the wrong place. And we've probably all been somewhere out in the dark and been worried. I remember I thought I was going to get lost in the woods once I was out hunting. It got dark a little sooner than I expected it to. And I found out I didn't know where I was. So I wasn't sure if I was going to make it back to that road or not, where I'd parked my car, and I didn't, but I did make it back to a road that eventually led to my car. But I remember that feeling of that if it had gotten totally dark, I wouldn't have had any way to know where I was going. And so it's referred to as a walk in darkness. And so Jesus is the light that leads us out of that walk of darkness. It's a walk of ignorance. They don't know. They don't realize it. They could be thinking, as I mentioned earlier, that Jesus said that they're on the right path. Think they're doing the will of God, like Saul. He was persecuting the church, putting Christians to death. They thought he was doing the will of God. And so it's possible for people in this worthless walk, this futile walk, to be doing things they think are right, but in reality they're wrong. And again, that's the reason it's so important for us to look to the Scriptures and see what the Scriptures tell us and be willing to do what it says. It's a walk of blindness, again, relating to darkness. They don't know where they're going. They have no idea where they're going to wind up. And many times, they wind up in the wrong place. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, both fall into the pit. So if you're following someone who is in error and teaching error, you're going to wind up where they wind up because of the blindness, because of a failure to see the will of God. And it's a walk that's past feeling. Many times these people have gone so far down that road, they're unwilling or unable to turn around and get back on the right track. They feel like it's too difficult for them. It's something they're not willing to give up. The life that they're in habit of having, even though it's brought misery and suffering to their life, they're not willing to turn around and get back on that right track. So it's past feeling many times, and they're unwilling to turn around. It is a walk, of course, of sinfulness. And he refers to lewdness, which is a lot of times associated with sexual sins of lust and that sort of thing. Uncleanness, which is simply any sin that would cause us to be contaminated by sin and therefore unworthy of the kingdom of God. Greediness, many times is a part of this walk of sinfulness. People want more, and so they're willing to sacrifice their relationship with God to get it. They're willing to walk in sinful ways to get it, by the wrong methods and that sort of thing. And so the walk of sinfulness is very real. And so that worthless walk, we need to be sure that we're not on that worthless walk. And then there is the winning walk. In Ephesians 5:1-7, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. And so here he talks about a walk. The winning walk is one that's imitating God. And that's what we said started with the scripture, that we ought to walk like Jesus walked, following his steps. It's a walk in love and sacrifice. And there's no better way to live your life than loving people and being sacrificial toward them. And you're going to have a life that's full of friends because you love them and you care about them and you do what you can to help them. And so you're going to have people that appreciate you so much because of that. And we all like to have that. It's a walk rejecting sin. And those sins he details, fornication is sexual sin that involves living out to get together outside of the marriage relationship. It includes such things as homosexuality and all of those sexual sins. Any sexual sin is lumped into this one word, fornication. And adultery would be in that also. Uncleanness, we talked about anything that would contaminate you from the righteousness that you should have in God. Covetousness, we talked about with greediness, he talked about earlier. And Paul refers to covetousness as being idolatry because we're putting things and what we can buy between us and God, and many times forsaking God for the sake of what we want materially. Filthiness relates to uncleanness. It's you know, you can be unclean, but then you can be filthy, and that's much worse than being unclean. And so filthiness is when we're just covered with dirt, covered with sin. Our whole life is made up of sin and filthiness. And we need the blood of Jesus to wash all of that away so that we can have a right relationship with him. Foolish talking. Talking that that doesn't accomplish anything. Sometimes referred to as idle talk. But saying foolish things that is not beneficial to anyone around you and may even be harmful. Coarse jesting or joking. You know, there's some jokes that I've heard that I would not repeat because they're coarse and they're not proper to be told in around Christians at all. And so we have to recognize there's some of those things that we just don't talk about. And coarse jesting is one of them. And then, of course, disobedience. Any disobedience to God is a walk that is against what God is wanting. That's the winning walk, that we reject these sins that we're looking at there. You can win through love when you can't win any other way. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And so that winning walk, that walk of love that Paul referred to there in 5, 1 through 7, is the best way to live our lives here on this earth. I use this scripture many times in premarital counseling, saying if you want to have a good marriage, this is the kind of love that you need to have. And so it's true in the church, it's true in any relationship. If you want to have a good relationship, love needs to be at the center of it. And it's true with God. If we want to have a good relationship with God, we're going to have to live a life of love. Because God is love, and he has shed his love abroad in our hearts so that we can distribute it out to others. And so all of our relationships should be controlled by love. And then there's the wise walk, Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. So we are to walk as children of light in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and striving to find out what is pleasing to the Lord and what's acceptable to Him. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, He says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And so the wise walk is to recognize what is acceptable to God and do that in a life. It's a walk turning from darkness to light. We talked about darkness earlier. It's a walk of goodness, being good to all of those around us, not doing evil to anyone. It's a walk of righteousness, which is simply being right with God, doing His will in our lives. It's a walk in truth that we always strive to find out what is acceptable to the Lord and what He wants us to do in our lives. It's a walk exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. And he says that there are some things that they do that we wouldn't even want to talk about. And so we need to expose those things that are sinful in the sight of God so everyone can know they don't need to be involved doing those things. And, of course, there are many things that fit into that category. And then there's the watchful walk, Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Walk circumspectly. Look at where you're going. Look all around you and see. Be sure that you're on the right path, that you're not allowing yourself to be controlled by someone other than God. A carefully considering all circumstances and possible consequences of what we're doing. And so we need to have that circumspect walk where we're considering all the possibilities of what might happen. A walk wisely using your time to make up for the former misuse of it, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so we need to make the best use of our time. We will be doing those things that are pleasing to God, helpful to those around us, and we won't have any guilt feelings over those things. A walk understanding the will of God, and we've talked about this in a lot of these, that it's so important for us to understand the will of God, to know the will of God, to be willing to practice those things that He wants us to do, which is being controlled by God's Spirit rather than substances like alcohol and drugs. And obviously those things do control you. And so Paul is saying, don't allow those things to control you, but rather be controlled by the Spirit of God and what He wants us to do in our lives. That's who should be controlling us. A walk praising and thanking God for the many wonderful things that He has done for us. The watchful walk, a life of submission to one another in the fear of God. That means that if I'm doing something wrong and you point it out to me, then I will submit to that. If I determine, yes, you're right, that was wrong for me, and I'm sorry, and I apologize. And so we all need to be willing to submit to one another if someone lets us know that they feel that we've done something wrong. It may be that they're mistaken by that. But if we recognize that, yes, it was wrong, then we need to be submissive and submit to them, and the fact that they're trying to correct us, as we talked about this morning, with withdrawing a fellowship. The purpose is for the good of the one that is being disciplined. And so that's the reason we need to submit to one another, because those things are things that we need to be doing and we're not doing. And so we need to accept that and be willing to do what we should. So how is your walk? The wicked walk of the past that you're still walking in? The working walk, working for God? The worthy walk, trying to do those things that are pleasing to God? The worthless walk, that you don't know where you're going or where you're going to wind up? The winning walk that will get you eventually to heaven? And the wise walk that's walking according to the will of God? The watchful walk, that constantly looking to see if you're on the right track and where you're headed and what the outcome of that walk is going to be. So we each need to look at our lives and ask ourselves these questions: where we're headed and where we're going to be when we get there. And if we determine we're on the wrong path, we need to make sure that we get on the right path. The Old Testament says, do not turn to the right or the left. You stay on that path, that right path. And so any one of us can get off at any time that right path, and we need to get right back on it when we realize that. So if you have not been obedient to the gospel, you need to repent of sins that you've committed, confess Jesus as your Lord and Master and as the Son of God, and then be buried with him in baptism to wash away all of those past sins, and God will never bring those up again. You'll be free from those past sins. Now all you have to worry about is living and walking as Jesus would walk and doing those things that are pleasing to God. When you fall short, immediately repenting and confessing that, so that the blood of Jesus will keep you pure in your life and prepared for that heavenly home. If we can help you in any way in your walk at this time, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.